to go in, and he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music, then there came of the angel standing by him. He asked, what could be their name?
These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded.
One of these.
Yeah.
He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of
That's a blessing. Amen. Come on, Brother Johnny. I ain't going to say nothing else.
Amen.
Somebody said, me and Brother Tommy, get out of the way, amen, and let God do it, amen. And if you will, thank you so much for being here tonight. And girls, what a blessing. And if you will, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn me to John chapter number 4 tonight. For our time together here in the Word of God, this familiar story. And I pray I can come at it at a different angle tonight and be a blessing. Something that I've been studying on the last couple days to try to, in my own life, one of the things that song talks about is how we are privileged to be able to know Christ.
Amen.
And we're not the only ones, you know, that God wants to save.
Amen.
And sometimes it seems insurmountable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just sitting there and thanking the Holy Spirit working in us and blessing, and the singing's been beautiful tonight.
Amen.
And the congregational singing too, and it was just a blessing. And you know, you always wish that there were more sinners that could hear that.
Yeah.
And how do you get it to them, you know?
Yes,
and it's like every week I go through that in my mind at our church, and man, I just tell you, we cannot give up though. We cannot
Amen.
Give up. We can't quit. And because God didn't just die for us, He died for all of us.
Amen.
And we got to remember that. And I want to talk about that tonight, if you will. John chapter number 4. If you don't mind, if you're able, will you stand up with me out of respect for God's word as we read it tonight? For sake of time, I'm going to try not to... I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We will be through it tonight. You hang tight in there with us, if you will. And I want you to look at a familiar story here in John chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 3. And the Bible says... In John chapter 4 verse 3 says, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus coming to this city of Samaria, and if you've been around the things of God, you know the story here where he's going to meet the Samaritan woman. But let's look in verse 5. The Bible says, then come thee to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And I'm not preaching this tonight, but I do think this is interesting. And but that Jesus meets this woman at Jacob's well. Now I want you to think about this. If you go to the Old Testament, and Jacob was the one that God used to give the promised land to Israel. So this well was given to God's people to provide them water. And now here Jesus is. He's at that same well, and he's about to provide
Amen.
Living water. Can you see it?
Amen.
And I'm not preaching on that, but anyway, that's verse 7. And the Bible says, there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. And when the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink to me, which am of a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So the lady noticed right off, you know, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we're different races, you should not be speaking to me. I'm a woman in the middle of the day here, why are you talking to me? And so that lets us know that there's a reason behind it. Verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and when he would have given thee living water. And so Jesus goes into this conversation with this lady back and forth. And long story short, you know the story here where Jesus begins to win this woman to Christ.
Amen.
And he begins to reveal to her that her need is not religion. She knows religion. How do we know that? Because she quotes scripture to God. How many of you believe you got to be brave to quote the Bible to God? Amen.
Amen.
She's quoting the Bible to God. Hey, but she's still not saved. But then she turns to Jesus. She trusts in Jesus. And Jesus exposes to her that her need was him. She believes on him. And then in verse 16, now look what happens here. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered, said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou saidest thou truly. So Jesus exposes to her, and listen, I know everything about you.
Yeah.
And he's letting her know that I know who you are, but yet still I am here to give you new life and to forgive you of your sins. Now look what happens in verse number 24. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto thee, I know that the Messiah coming, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. Big amen right there. Now verse 27, then came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man which showed me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Amen.
For the next few moments tonight, I want to preach on this simple thought. Anybody can win souls to Christ. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, help us tonight. And Lord, tonight, I know that the heart of the people in this room is to see folks saved. Lord, I know they want it more than anything in their life right now. Their church wants it. And God, I know that you want it. And Lord, you've got more invested in this thing than all of us together.
Yes.
And God, you're not keeping souls from us.
Mm.
Lord, I pray that tonight you'll move in our hearts. That when we leave this building, that we will determine, as your children, to do all we can,
yes,
while we can, to do our part in helping people come to Christ. So God, you got to help us tonight.
Yes, Lord, please.
Or we're needy.
Yes.
We can't do it.
No.
It's got to be you. God, I pray for Faith Chapel. I pray for Sardis.
Yes, God.
Help us, Jesus, to be who you've called us to be.
God, grant that.
We pray this in your name. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you think tonight about soul winning and bringing people to Christ in your mind, and silently answer this question, but what do you think keeps people from trying to bring people to Christ or not bringing people to Christ? When you think about, brothers, my own life, when you think about your own personal life, what is it that you would say are the barriers that keep you from bringing people to Christ? I preached about it a little bit last night, but apathy, I think, would be the top of the list. The fact that in our own hearts, we're just not concerned about what God's concerned about. But I preached about that last night. But number two, I think false teaching. I think some people have been taught that the only ones who witness for Christ are the pastors or the apostles or people in full-time ministry. But the truth of the matter is, if you look in the Bible tonight, anybody, all people are commanded to be witnesses for Christ. And we must understand that. But the biggest reason tonight that I am learning as a pastor why people do not see themselves bringing people to Christ is they feel incapable. They feel like that they cannot do it. They feel like they tried, they failed, they went after it. They meant it. They prayed about it. They gave effort to it. Nothing happened. They can't. They just do not feel like they are able to bring people to Christ. And it is an area, if we were honest, it's an area if we were honest, if we were what?
Honest.
Where most Christians are very discouraged about in their life. Then they go, they want to see God use their life to bring souls to Christ, but yet in that area they see a void there, and it is a place where we're really discouraged. But tonight we must understand that anyone can help bring souls to Christ, and God used some of the most shocking people in the Bible to bring people to Christ. I want you to think about this. Do you know the man that pastored the church at Corinth was led to Christ by a man and his wife?
Amen.
I want you to think about that. The man that pastored the church that we read about, 1 Corinthians, it was Aquila and Priscilla that brought this man to Christ and pointed him to Christ because they only knew of John the Baptist. Hey, in Mark chapter 2, there were four men that brought one of their friends and tore the roof off and lowered their friend down to Jesus. Now, those four men, they weren't pastors, they weren't the disciples, they weren't the apostles, they were just common men. But what does that mean? That means tonight that any of us, all of us tonight, we can help do our part in bringing people to Christ.
Amen.
Follow me, can I get an amen?
Amen.
In our text tonight, we find a woman who was just a common lady. She was a sinner that had been saved by grace, but in her life she was able to help bring people to Christ. And the Bible says, I want you to think about this lady. She was an adulterer. She was a fornicator. She had a bad reputation among the people that she lived around.
Right.
But yet God would use her to bring people to Christ. Now tonight I want you to think about this. She wasn't a pastor. She sure wasn't an apostle. She was way disqualified.
Right.
But get this. She wasn't a Sunday school teacher.
Right.
She didn't grow up, listen, as a Christian. Obviously, she'd been exposed to some truth, but she wasn't living it.
Right.
She had a horrible testimony in the city. As a matter of fact, she was the kind of lady, I want you to think about this, when you take your little daughter and you're walking into somewhere and you see a lady and you say, now, don't be like her, don't dress like her, don't act like her, don't be like that. That's who this woman was. She was that kind of person. But get this, after God saved her, she became someone that was able to be used by God to bring people to Christ. And tonight you see, Brother Julie, how do common church members bring people to Christ? I want you to think about this. How do common church members bring people to Christ? And I want to look at this woman's life tonight, and I want to give you two simple thoughts, and we'll be done. Number one, first of all, we must understand that we must give effort.
Yeah.
We've got to give effort, y'all. I want you to look in verse 28 and 29 again, and I want you to look at this. I'm praying tonight to be challenging, but also practical. But look in verse 28. The Bible says, the woman left her water pot, and then look what it says. And she went her way into the what?
City.
Now look what it says. And saith unto the who? To the men. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did is not this to Christ. And tonight the Bible points out to this Samaritan woman that she gave effort to try to bring people to Christ. Now, when I say effort, what do I mean? Here's what I simply mean by that. I mean that it was in her mind that she should be a witness for Christ, and she put forth effort to try to bring people to Christ. How? Look in verse 28 again. The Bible says in verse 28, the woman, that she went her way into the city, and the idea here is that she put forth the time to be a witness. She gave forth some of her time to be a witness. You say, Brother Joy, explain.
Amen.
Here it is. Now, so obviously, I don't go to the hair beautician much. Amen?
Yeah.
My own barber, okay? Now, I want you to think about this stuff. But you go and you get your hair done. Or what I tell my wife, go get your hair did. Amen? That's what my wife does. But get this. That's a 3-hour job. You're not walking in there 5 minutes and coming out. Now, we may, but not a woman. But watch this. While you're there, witness.
Yeah.
Give time to it. Now, obviously, if somebody sits down by you in that bucket, you know, they bring over your head. That's not the time. But get this, while you're there, take time to speak up for Christ. Now, your whole conversation may not be, but a little bit of time. Hey,
yeah.
You're at Walmart. You're buying stuff. Do y'all sell guns at Walmart here? Not y'all, but I mean, no. But wherever, you're a man, you're a division section, you're in the tool section, whatever it is that men, whatever y'all do, make it this. But think about this, you're sitting and you're looking, there's a guy standing there. Give time to be a witness.
Amen.
At McDonald's, they're checking you out. You're nervous about your order, your burger's going to have onions, you ask not, amen. But get this, take 30 seconds to give a tract.
Yeah.
To speak up for Christ. And what I'm getting at is this. We have to understand this. We're going to have to give effort. We're going to have to go out of our way, and we're going to have to make sure that we're willing to give time to go after people in our life and around us. We must give time. But then the Bible says, look back at verse 28. Says she went into the city and saith to the men. The idea here is she actually spoke up.
Yeah.
To others for Christ. Now, y'all, I want to be honest with you. This is the hard part. This is the barrier.
Yeah.
Because you got to be honest about it. Now, you can do one of two things. You can say, oh, bro, I'm not worried about it. But let's be honest. If you are at a restaurant and somebody's coming and they're sitting there talking to you, we get nervous that they're going to be mad, that they're going to dump a burger on our face or something. Am I right?
Yeah.
We get nervous, but we have to be willing to speak up. We have to be willing to share Christ. We have to be willing to be a voice. And this lady, the Bible says she gave effort. She gave time to it. She spoke up. But then look at what else it says. I want to see this is very simple. Verse 29. The Bible says that she said, come what?
See.
See you, ma'am. Which told me all things that ever I did is not this to Christ. Now I find this interesting, but you know what she simply did? Get this. She simply did this. She invited. Mm. It's that easy. You go to Ross. Y'all got tracks out there. I've seen them.
Yeah.
Take tracks with you. Just say, hey, can I invite you to our church? That's it. You say, well, they're mad. You done got your receipt anyway. You out the door. You're done. All they can do is be mad. But she simply invited people to Christ. And what I'm getting at is we must get to a place in our life where we are giving effort. Now tonight in your life, everybody in this room, I know I've been here for 3 days now. I can feel it. You want people to be saved and come into the life of your church. I know. I sense. But how much effort have you given to
them? Come on, preacher. Amen.
How much effort? You said, Brother Joe, I've been to visit them 100 times. Why don't you go visit somebody else?
Amen. That's good.
Why not go to... Well, I've been to everybody at Burger King knows me by name. I hate to even say this. Try Chick-fil-A. Do y'all have Chick-fil-A here?
Yeah.
Okay. Try Chick-fil-A. Hey, listen. We got to give effort, though. We've got to give effort to trying to win people to Christ. And y'all, I'm telling you, we just got to ask God to help us.
Yes.
You said, Brother Joe, give us something. I don't know. Y'all look at me real careful. I want to make sure I put this out. I don't know, but I know this. How many of you agree with me that Jesus died for sinners?
Amen.
How many of you believe that He still can save?
Amen.
How many of you believe He wants to save?
Amen.
I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know this. When He does it through His people.
Yes.
And we don't know. We've got to ask Him to show us. There's a man in our church got saved a couple years ago. Brother Brad and I have talked about him a little bit this week. Brother Brian, he reminds me a lot of you. In our church, he really does. Man, he got saved a couple years ago. He's on fire for the Lord. Mid-age man. He decided last year, he's like, man, Brother Joe, I think God wants me to start a bowling league. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, a Christian league where we'll get people to come. And every night we're going to preach to them. We'll have 8 weeks of fellowship and bowling and this and that and that. And we'll do all that. I was like, brother, knock yourself out. Whatever. Hey. So he put out this average that we're going to do this in our church. Filled up all the lanes, filled up Christian people. And then in the middle of it though, about halfway through the league, he came to me one night after he had done given the devotion and thing. He said, Bridger, well, I think I missed it. I said, what do you mean, man? This is exciting. We're having fun. He said, all we're doing is taking care of the goats. I mean, the sheep. He said, we got to win people.
Mm.
So this year, half of the bowling alley are Christian people, and the other half are businesses that put together teams. Hold on, listen. It's incredible. Let me get water here so I don't miss this. So last Tuesday night, I went. I hadn't been. I was gone the week before. I mean, I was back in town last week, and I went Tuesday night. Last Tuesday night, I went, and I got up there, and I walked in, and I was so nervous. Because you stand up there, all 25 lanes are full of people, 100 people. They bowl one game, and then when they get done with one game, they take a break, and that's when you preach. And then they go back to the second game. Well, on this side, I look over there, man, Christian people, weird. Everybody's excited. Most of them look the same. I mean, and then I look on this side, and they not.
Mm.
I mean, they're not even good Catholics. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Most of them are drinking. And I'm like, oh, my word. And so I got up, and I opened my Bible. And I started preaching. They stopped me, by the way, playing Christian music the whole time. And I preached for 10 minutes. About the need to be born again. And listen, in the middle of it, people started sitting down, turning around in their chairs, paying attention. When I got done, some of those guys come up to me and talking to me and said, where's y'all's church and stuff? And I thought about, man, that was weird. But be honest, that's incredible.
Amen.
I was able to preach Christ to these people at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And that guy, bless his heart, he's just allowing us to have the lead there, but other people coming. Listen. And it is amazing the opportunity to preach Christ.
Mm, amen.
And I'm saying this, I don't know, but what I'm getting at, we got to ask God to help us.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's an older couple in our church.
actually former bikers, and they got right with the Lord. And not again, I don't think it's wrong for good people to ride bikes. I want to make sure I say that because I don't, because I'm scared of them. But hey, if you like one, you know, fly away. Go ahead. But they're older people. They're in their 70s. I mean, they're like, we want to do something for the Lord. And said, preacher, we want to start a ministry of trying to witness to the first responders and the firemen. I was like, what? Yeah. So once a month, our church makes cookies on a Wednesday night. And on Thursday morning, they take those cookies to 13 fire stations, to the police officers, to the sheriff's department, and they deliver. And Louie and Annie go in there and they say, hey, can we drop these off? We got a little card on it, got a Bible verse on it. And they pray with the people that are in the room at that time, and then they leave. Their fireman cookies have got red icing on them. The police cookies got blue icing on them. But listen to this. A couple weeks ago, a man in our church was speeding. Not in our church. Actually, Brother Bruce did this. I'm just substituting a man in our name. All right. A man in our church was speeding. He got pulled over. And the police officer came up and took his thing and took his ID. And when he got to the window, the man said, listen, he said, man, I'm sorry. I deserve my ticket. He said, can I give you a tract from our church too? And the police officer took the tract, came back to the window and said, do you go to this church? He said, yeah. He said, I think I ate some cookies from y'all this week. He said, with blue icing? He said, yeah. Hey, he did not give him a ticket. So now I'm telling you, the most happening thing at our church is cookie making on Wednesday. I'll tell you. But what I'm getting at is it's just 2 weeks, two or 3 weeks ago. There was a wreck right in front of our church. And a man in our church stood in the middle of Highway 30 and went through the gospel with the police officer on duty because he said, that's the church that gave us cookies. What I'm getting at is this. Yeah. I don't know how. But y'all, we've got to get to the point in our life where we are giving effort to try to win people to Christ.
Amen.
But y'all, I got to be honest. It takes time.
Mm.
It takes effort. A couple months ago, we had this family started coming to our church. And I'm trying to help here. Is everybody okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen, a couple months ago, we had this family come in. And they have a special needs child. And when I say special needs, I'm not talking about like my brother called me special my whole life. I'm not talking about that kind of special. I'm talking about, like, we tried to put him in a class with other kids, and he couldn't. He would take the box of Legos and throw them across the room. The teacher would be trying to teach. He'd just scream and holler. High autism. Other things. And so, there was a lady in our church that said, preacher, let's start a special needs class. And I thought to myself, I said, a special needs class? I was like, who's going to do it? I mean, do you want to go in that class? Like, and I'm being honest, I'm like, who's going to do it?
Right.
And the lady said, well, let's pray about it. Mm-hmm. Begin to pray. Look, we hadn't even said anything. I began to pray about it. And there was a nurse in our church. One of her boys got saved. Answer call, preaches at Southeastern now. And she worked with special needs adults for 20 years. She found out about it, came to me. Look, we have a Sunday morning special needs class and a Wednesday night special needs class right now. Two different women teaching it. Both of them qualified to teach. Well, get this. In our city, now our city is not like y'all's. We have three schools that have special needs schools. In other words, these special needs parents take their kids there, drop them off. It's government funded. They have teachers there. These schools heard about it, and the director contacted me and said, is your church doing this? I said, yes. She said, I want to help. And I was like, you're not even saved. Like, I was thinking, you're not even saved. What are we doing? And she said, can I come talk to you? Come talk. And she comes and she says, whatever you need, let me know how you do it. She called me this afternoon, the regional director of special needs teaching in South Alabama heard about what our church is doing.
Wow.
And she called me today and pledged to give money to buy all the equipment for our classes. And get this, to financially put a worker in the room with our teachers to make sure that we are legally okay.
Mm.
Now get this. You got to think about this, y'all. We have three schools in our city that have these kids, special needs kids that come to their schools. Nobody's reaching out to them. And you say, Brother Joe, how are you going to do it? I'm going to tell you what I told that woman today. And I want you to listen very carefully. I said, Miss Tiffany, I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea how we're going to do this. But I know God's in it, and I know God's going to take care of it, and He's going to help us win some special needs families to Christ. But all I'm getting at is this, y'all. Gotta give effort.
Yeah.
You do. You're going to have to do something different than what you haven't been doing.
Right.
If you want to win people to Christ. And the truth of the matter is, I hate that. I even today, I'm sitting up here, and I'll be honest with you. Have y'all noticed my vests are tight this week? Anybody else but me notice that? But Bruce has. Thank you for being humble, all right? Listen to this. But here's the truth. My wife picking on me about my weight, she said, well, Joey, you're going to have to eat different. I was like, nah, there's got to be something out there that'll help me. Amen. Look, you got to change.
Yeah.
Y'all, I'm telling you, if we want to win people to Christ, we're going to have to give effort.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about change where we become crazy. I know this is wild. We still have chandeliers in our church. We still have chandeliers. I mean, we still sing out the hymn book too. I'm encouraged by that being here. Yeah. But what I'm getting at, we have to make sure that we're giving effort.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, tonight, you don't have to be a pastor to give effort to share Christ.
Mm. Amen.
When you get gas, roll up a track and put it in the handle.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. They might throw it away, but at least they have to touch it.
Yeah. Amen.
They got to touch it. Hey, they got to touch it. We got to give effort. Number one, give effort. Number two, you're going to have to express your experience. You're going to have to be willing to talk about what God is doing in your life. Now, I want you to look at verse 29. The Bible says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Now, this is important. I want to get through this quickly if I can.
That's all right.
But I want you to think about this. This lady did not know the doctrines of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Right.
She didn't know him. How do you know? Because he explained the very minimal to her to see her life change.
Right.
She didn't know it. She didn't know how the Church of Jesus Christ was going to function. But she said, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Now, why did she say that? This is why. Because in the Jew and Gentile, in the Samaritan culture, the coming of the Christ, you know, I'm going to show this to you if you don't mind. Look back with me, if you will, in verse number 25. I want to point this out to you. Y'all said, when will you say, go ahead. And just a little bit here. Look in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, she's speaking to Jesus. Now watch this. I know, in other words, she was taught that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us what?
All things.
Now watch this. So in that culture, they believed when the Messiah came that he would be the only one that would be able to tell what was in people's hearts.
All right. Amen.
She said, he told me all things that ever I did. Now, what was she saying?
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't talking about the outside.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, being a witness is not us talking about the outside things of religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about what God has done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Sharing what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
You know, tonight, one thing we're good at, I want you to think about our world is good at. We're very good at putting on a facade.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, how so, Red Joy? Number one money making industry, Facebook. You know why? You can get on there and lie about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wives be taking pictures. We in love. And they call 911 the night before domestic violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're very good at covering up.
Yeah.
But what about this? What if we're just genuine?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, sometimes, man, I struggled. There was a time in my life when I struggled with depression like nobody. There were times I'd sit in a dark room and I would wait, hope my life that Jesus would come take me home because I was so miserable. But then when I learned that Christ was there to give me what nothing in this world, no medicine could give me. What are you doing? You're being a witness.
Yes, amen.
And God crosses your path with people. Hey, listen, the battle with sin, the battle with the flesh, all of these things, we have to learn to use what God is doing in our life.
Amen.
To be witnesses for
Amen.
Christ. There's a lady in our church. She's quiet. She doesn't talk out loud public. She don't sing in the choir. She don't sing specials. She does not lead any kind of ministry. If you asked her to stand up and give a testimony at church, she would fall out dead. She would disappear in the jungle. I'm telling you, she cannot do it. But she's a witness. 4 weeks ago, there was a man, 6'6", a mechanic, walked into our church, never been there, and he's lost as a goose. I'm telling you, you know when you see somebody like, yep, he needs saved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? He's one of them mechanics, filthy mouth, you know. He's been coming the last 4 weeks in a row. You know why he came? He worked on that quiet, little, meek lady's vehicle. And she just invited him to church when God was dealing with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Sunday, when I got out of church Sunday and I went back to my hotel, I had a text from Michael said, "Hey, Pastor, we missed you today at our church."
Mm.
And I'm like, "You ain't even saved yet." But he will get saved.
Amen.
It's going to take time. But y'all, you have to be willing to share what God's doing.
Amen.
You don't have to be able to quote the Bible to people. Just tell them what God is doing for you and what Jesus can do for them. And listen, the same resurrection power that is changing your life will speak to them about
Amen.
Their need. I got to hurry, number three. But I want to give you this. And I think this is one of the things that I have been guilty of as a pastor. Now, Brother Tommy, maybe not. But me as a pastor, here's what it is. Through my preaching and teaching, I have given people in our church sometimes false expectations of their soul winning efforts.
Mm.
In other words, a sweet lady would come to the altar and say, "God, I want you to use my life." You use that woman's life. Use that woman's life in that pastor's church in Alabama. Won't you use my life? And I claim it in the name of Jesus. Give me 5 souls for Jesus.
Yeah.
And you get out here and you weep. You make that commitment. And for 2 weeks you hand out 500 tracts. Nobody comes to church. Nobody gets saved. You get discouraged and you quit. Why? Here's why. Because you had expectations that were not biblical.
Mm.
And you say, "Well, Brother Joey, tonight, if I come and I say, 'Okay, God, I want to give effort to being a witness, and I want to learn to share what you're doing in my life with others that people can sense the realness of Christ in their life and get saved,' you made that commitment to God. What should my expectations be?" I'm glad. I think this should be what we learn from this woman's life.
Mm.
Now I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to verse number 39. If you're following me, will you say amen?
Amen.
Verse 39 says this: "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all things that ever I did.'" You see, the Bible tells us here that many of the Samaritans believed, but I want you to look at me. I want you to pay attention to what it didn't say. Not everybody listened to it.
That's right.
And y'all, here's the deal. Not everybody's going to listen to you. Not everybody's going to respond to you. I wish that every sinner that we talk to, they would open their eyes and say, "You know what? That is exactly what I need."
Yeah.
Today, I'll be honest with you, today I was walking around. I found a Muslim mall. Any of y'all been to the Muslim mall down here? The food's good anyway. Amen. Hey, look. They had, by the way, can I make a commercial? They were selling goat feet. Anyway, let's get back to the next. But I was walking around and I was, you know, it's very intimidating. I was giving tracts out to those Muslim workers and I was like buying something at every store and it's very intimidating because they look like I'm not being like whatever the liberal people call it, but it isn't just like, "Are they going to blow me up if I give them this?" You know, you don't know what's going to happen. So it is a little intimidating. But I'm talking to them and I'm trying to share with them and man, they're nice, they're reaching out and I'm thinking, you know what? These people are probably never, ever heard of Jesus Christ. And there was a little kid, I'm not kidding, I mean in their 20s. They took that little card and then she came and kept checking on me at my table. And I was just watching. And I thought, I wonder what she's thinking. And you know what? I wish all them people were in there, walked over there and said, "You're a Christian. Tell us about Jesus."
Yeah.
"And we only know about Muhammad. And we all going to hell. We know you got the truth." I wish they said that. But y'all, here's the truth. None of them did.
Yeah.
And none of them are church and I did. You know what? You're going to witness to people. Some of them are not going to respond to you. But I will say this. Some of them will.
Yes. Suddenly.
Yes.
Suddenly. Look at this. I want you to look at this last thing, last nugget here. And I pray this will be an encouragement to you. Look in verse 41. The Bible says this. I'm sorry, let's back up to verse 40. Let's go ahead to verse 40. The Bible says this. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now tonight, through time, don't miss this, you will see people come to Christ through other people's efforts too. We don't always get to pray with them. We don't always get to see them baptized. But y'all, we are called to plant, to share. And you know, your neighbor may not get saved at your church. They may get saved at another church. But you may have somebody get saved here that somebody from another church gave them a track at McDonald's.
Amen.
What we got to understand is this. We're a team.
Yes, it is.
You're a team. Now,
yes.
Let me play this out in your mind. And then I'm going to be done. I'm going to close this out. I know this is different, but listen. I feel like this is what God wants me to preach tonight.
Yeah.
Let's just say a sinner comes to y'all's church on Sunday morning. And let's say that thinking about it. So they come in, they know her. She's excited, she's ecstatic. And maybe you know of the person. And you're like, they need Jesus. That's your flesh.
Yeah, amen.
Welcome. Shake your hand.
Yeah.
Tell them you're thankful they're there.
Yes.
If they need something, offer to help.
Yeah.
Talk to them. Get their number. Send them a text message. Thank them for coming. There's so many things that we can do together in trying to win people to Christ. But God, give effort. And we're going to have to be willing to share our experience with God. What God is doing in our life. What Christ is to us when He opens that door. And hey, just know, everybody ain't going to listen, but some will. But think about this. At the end of the day, when a soul is saved, all the efforts that went into it make it all worthwhile.
Amen.
Will you bow your heads with me in prayer tonight? God help us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. And here's the reality. I know tonight, church, that you have a burden. And you want people to be saved. You don't want to do gimmicks. You don't want to twist arms. You want God to draw. But you know who God draws, where He draws them to. He draws them to a place that's going to take care of them. He draws them to a place that's going to reach out to them. He draws them to a place that's going to give effort to win them to Christ. He draws them to a place that is genuine with people walking with God that can share what Christ is doing in their life. And tonight, church, I know that you guys want this. I know that you long for souls to be saved. And you long to see God use your life in doing it. You're going to have to be surrendered to it. Say, Lord, I want you to take my life. I want you to use me, God. Use me to reach souls for your kingdom and your church. Lord, use my life. Help me to give effort. Help me to get time, every day of my life, to give time to being a witness. And Lord, to share what you are doing in my life and what you long to do in others' lives. And God, will you help me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, she's going to play. And while she plays tonight, you want to come make that commitment. Say, Lord, I want you to help me do my part. Will you join us together at the altar this evening? Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you, God, that you're still in soul-saving business. And Lord, I know you want to use this church. And I know these people want it. Lord, I'm not preaching to people that don't believe this. I'm preaching to people that long for this. And so, God, tonight I pray in the next few moments that you draw us, Lord, to a surrender. Of giving our lives to you, being a voice for you. To share what you're doing in our life, Lord, that we would daily commit, Lord, to being a witness for you, and that as you draw sinners to yourself, Now, Lord, help us tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Will you stand to your feet with me? She's going to play. You need to come pray tonight. You come tonight. You join us at the altar this evening. May God help us tonight as she plays.
Persistent in our effort, amen?
Yeah.
And I know I'm weak in that area. And I don't want to just go based on results. I want to be faithful. And you pray that God will help me to be faithful, amen? All right, thank you, Brother Joey. That was very helpful. I appreciate you. The mind of the Lord, amen? Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Bruce, pray for us.
Father, we thank you for speaking to us tonight. Lord, reminding us how important it is to talk to others about Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would help us to do what we should.
Yes.
You put them in our path.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to take that opportunity to hand them a track and talk to them about Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, help us to be concerned.
Yes, Jesus.
About the things and the people that you're concerned about.
Yes.
We thank you for that.
Yes.
Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What's that, brother?
We're not. We're, oh, he didn't turn it off. Okay.